Testament tells us who the book was written to, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants, that servants of Jesus Christ. So those are Christians. Those are people whose names have been put in the book of life. They're saved under this dispensation, yet the possibility is that it will be blotted out. That means they're unsaved. Clearly teaching my view, my position in this debate, servants of Jesus Christ. He was all mixed up about who it was written to. And he's all mixed up about Hebrews. Notice he said Hebrews 3 verse 9, all he did was prove again that it was written to Hebrews, because it said, when your fathers tempted me, yes, it's written to Hebrews. But didn't some Hebrews become Christians, Michael? Like Paul and Peter, they were Hebrews that became Christians. And that's what I mean when I say Hebrews 3:1. These Hebrews, these Jews, have become holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. These are not Jews that have not become Christians. These are Jews, Hebrews, that have become Christians. And so when verse 12 says about these brethren, partakers of the holy calling, that they could become unbelievers and depart from the living God, it shows that once saved, always saved is not true. It was invented by the imagination of men who want to have it easy. That's why it came about, instead of following the Bible. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25-27, remember, Paul is saying here that he is striving. Verse 26 says he's running for the incorruptible crown. Now, the only place I know where you have incorruptible crowns is in heaven. Everything here is corruptible. That's heaven. Then he says, though, if he doesn't buffet his body, if he doesn't live right, he's going to become a castaway. Castaway from what? When they're in a ship and they throw him out. Thanks, Papa, for helping me with the illustration. They throw him out. The ship's on the way to the incorruptible crown, heaven. But he becomes a castaway. Paul himself, no doubt he's a Christian, one of the greatest gospel preachers of all time. He's on the ship to heaven, incorruptible crown. It said, if he didn't live right, he would be thrown off the ship to the incorruptible crown. That clearly teaches my position. You can't get around it. Michael's been struggling. He's been working and working all night tonight to try to get around the plain meaning of the passage. I get up here and read the passage and say, this is what it said. Why don't you just believe it? Exactly what it said. That's been my approach in this debate. Michael's position is, I know it says that, but here's how I can get around it. As you noticed, that was pretty much the modus operandi tonight. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, notice he says that they are delivering this Christian in fornication to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean that he will be saved under with certainty. Notice this illustration. Football players wear pads that they don't get hurt. That doesn't necessarily mean with certainty they won't get hurt. That just means I'm stating the purpose of why they wear pads, so that they won't get hurt. Not that they're guaranteed that they won't get hurt. Now, in this passage, you withdraw from the brother for the destruction of the flesh. You're hoping he will quit the fornication, and if he destroys the flesh, the fleshly sin, then he will be saved. That's the point of it. It's not certainty, it's stating purpose. And then 1 Corinthians, now put up number 8. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. The works here are not his personal works, Michael. Look at verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's building. The Christians that they converted are considered the building, or the husbandry, the farm. So they're building this building. Paul and Apollos, he plants, Apollos waters. The converts are the building. Okay? According to the grace of God, verse 10, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, how are they building this building? With converts. Some of the converts are gold, silver, precious stones, some are wood, hay, and stubble. Bad converts. So when it says, if any man's work abide, verse 14, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What are the works? The things he's building with, according to verse 12. What's he building? What's he using to build? Christians, converts. So if any man's work shall be burned, that's the converts. In other words, if I convert somebody and later they fall away, I will still be saved, according to verse 15. I'll suffer loss, but I will still be saved. This is talking about the works, his converts. Ye are God's buildings. His converts were the building. The wood, hay, and the stubble, or the gold, silver, and precious stones. In my remaining time, let's go back through some of these passages. Look at Romans 15, verse 15. Now, this is for this church time admitted by Michael, not in the tribulation or anything like that. It talks about a brother that has to be a Christian. And then notice verse 13. He that doubteth, this Christian, this brother in Christ, is damned if he condemned. I think it's pretty clear what can happen to a Christian who falls away. He'll be condemned. Michael said that didn't mean he's lost, but everybody here knows it means that. That's the strongest word in the Bible for lost. There's not a word in the Bible. What?
Time.
Time? Excuse me.